second glass to grab. I must adapt. What you gonna do? Gonna heat it up. What you gonna do?
Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people. I'm your host, Neetu Da, and this is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CC, probably the only radio show to ever be subtitled, ironically. And did you know that magicians pull rabbits out of hats, but behavioralists pull habits out of rats? I've always found that a little interesting how that works out. And you know how we have all this grammar, we have all this punctuation we use, and some of it includes something called an exclamation mark. And I'm sure all of you know what it means when that is in a paragraph, a sentence, and some sort of writing. It means that this sentence is supposed to be spoken with excitement, or is supposed to be exciting, or an exclamation. And then there's the question mark to say that this sentence is a question. That's what it is. Even though if you didn't have the question mark, it might kind of seem already like a question, but that's just to certify that it is. So we have a mark for exclamation and one for questions. We have one for why and we have one for woohoo. But we don't have one for, say, sarcasm. Have you ever noticed that some people just don't get sarcasm? I have, where you're being sarcastic but they just don't get it. And sometimes you're being sarcastic about something, maybe a serious issue, but they just don't get it, and then they think you're a horrible person because they think you actually meant it, and then you go to the trouble to explain it, that I was being sarcastic. So maybe there should be a sign for it in writing. There should be a sign for sarcasm. There should be a sign for jokes also, for comedy. Say, this is a joke. This isn't actually what it means. This is a joke. And that way everything's clear. Like if you go to a comedy show, if you go see a comedian, you know that's all comedy because it's a comedian. Unless they say some comedians do take a serious tone, so it's usually clear when they do that. But sometimes it just isn't clear. I don't know what the sign would be though. I have no idea what we would make the sign into for sarcasm or comedy or whatever it is. But there are other things that have, like, certification. Like when you go to get coffee or clothing, they have, like, certifications. Like, this was created in a green and healthy way. It's certified to make sure that you know that you don't buy our product because it's all green and friendly and fits more into society's goals today. And there should be one for facts, too. I feel like there should be one for facts. But say, like, this is a fact. Like, I think it's 80% of the earth is covered in water. Of course, that's just the surface area, though. It's not, like, deep down. As we know, there's the crust and the inner crust and the outer crust and the core. I don't take sciences as a course, so give me a little break. And schools are starting up again. Today is possibly everybody's second day, maybe their first day of school, but maybe that's what everybody's talking about. But what happens on the first day is that you would also usually talk about your vacation to your friends if you haven't already told them. Or maybe you're meeting someone new, you're introducing yourself, and you ask, oh, what did you do over the summer? Well, if you asked me, what I did is I went on a road trip with my family. Well, not my entire family. I went with my parents. Exciting, right? I went with my parents, and I went on a road trip into Upper BC, Inner BC, we went to Kamloops, and we went up to Valmont, and then across all the way to Prince Rupert, and from Prince Rupert, a ferry home. That was pretty much how the trip worked out. And I planned the whole trip. I planned all the stops we were going to and whatnot. And there was one that I just couldn't find. I wanted to see the last spike. I'm sure if you have taken school here in Canada, if you've gone to a school in Canada, elementary school or high school, you've probably heard of the last spike. The last spike is the last spike in the Canadian Railway. There's this whole ceremony about putting in the last one, because it took years to make the railway, and they were finally going to put in the last one, so they were going to put on this big ceremony and celebrate it to put in the last one. There's an iconic photo of all these dead old white guys, as they say, around the spike, and one with a long white beard actually putting it in. So I wanted to see it. I wanted to see the site where it was put in. So I went. The town where it happened was, correct me if I'm wrong, though you can't, Fort Fraser, I believe, or Fraser, Fort Fraser. I believe it's Fort Fraser. I believe it is. So I went there to find it, and they had a pub in the town. It's a very small town, but there was a pub, and it was called the Last Spike Pub. And there was actually, when I went there, there was actually no signage for where the last, there was like no sign to say like, oh, the last spike is 2 kilometers off this road, or every other kind of stop that I planned had like prominent signs where there would be like a sign like, it's 2 kilometers ahead, and then take a turn left 300 meters ahead. They're all kind of prominent as to where you would turn and where it is, but the last spike just doesn't have it. I don't know. I think that it would be a more popular attraction, seeing as it is in our, well, at least in BC's provincial education system. You hear about it a lot in school, and I just figured there would be a sign for it. When I was trying to search everything and plan everything online, I couldn't find it online either. I just figured there'd be a sign for it like everything else, but there wasn't. So we stopped at the gas station, and I asked this lady where the last spike is, and she said, oh, the pub, it's just right there. I'm like, no, not the pub. I'm not looking to get drunk. I'm looking to see a historical site. And I told her that, no, I mean like the actual real spike. But she didn't really know either. She said that there was this sign that said the last spike near like this yellow fence kind of a thing. So we went, and she told us which way to go, and we followed that way, and we found the sign, and we followed the yellow fence, and the yellow fence kind of went upward up this hill, and I figured, oh, that's where it is. It's up the hill. So I went up the hill, and it wasn't there. It was just like, it was like a picnic table and a nice view of the Fraser River, but it wasn't the spike. It wasn't what I wanted to see. So we go back down, and there was this really little sign that said, the last spike, 2 kilometers about. I wasn't really sure what about meant, and I don't have the best phone in the world. I have a Motorola phone. My phone actually fits into the palm of my hand. It fits nice and comfortably. It doesn't extend too long over the top or extend too low through the bottom. It fits comfortably in my hand, and I love my phone, as many like to disagree, because it's not big enough and it's old, but it does everything I need to do, so it's perfect for me. So I couldn't use my phone to search what that meant, so we just went like 2 kilometers ahead of that sign, though we probably went past that, and we went 2 kilometers behind that sign, but I still didn't find it. I didn't find one sign as to where the last spike was, so I didn't find it. I couldn't find the last spike. Sounds like a real tragedy, doesn't it? You couldn't find the last spike. No, but the rest of the trip was really nice. There was a lot of great things along the way. Mount Robinson, goodness gracious. It's beautiful up there. It's, but whenever, when we went to Mount Robertson, my dad was with me, and I felt he had this sort of, I feel like he had this weird feeling like he wasn't doing enough there. Because when we went, there was all these people wearing, like, backpacks, like these big backpacks, really big, like hiking kind of backpacks. And they were holding all this stuff in their arms and you can see that it was for like camping gear. They're all wearing like camping clothing and all that. But we didn't go to camp because you needed a permit for that and we didn't have the time and the road trip I scheduled. So we just planned to walk up the mountain a bit, up, not the whole way, because, well, we're not fit. We are definitely not fit. I am a student. My dad and my mom work. So my dad does exercise quite regularly. But we weren't, it's not like we trained for these things. We didn't do these all the time. But I felt like he felt bad that we weren't doing that too. Like he wanted to do that too. But we did walk up the mountain. My dad, unfortunately, didn't bring shoes. He didn't bring hiking shoes. He just wore, like, these slippers. Somehow, he made it work going up those steep inclines. I was just waiting for his foot to slip and fall. And finally, he would agree to just buy some shoes. But to no avail did that happen. But overall, it was a great trip. Saw some of the wild. Well, I didn't see any of the fires, but we were really close to all the smoke that was coming from the wildfire. Some days were just really smoky, where you couldn't, usually when you're driving through, you know, you can see all around you can see the whole view, but with all the smoke you can only kind of see the road ahead of you and kind of the trees to the side or whatever is to the side. But some days it was nice and clear, and we saw some of the evacuation camps, and there was a lot of mills up there, a lot of big like logging mills were on the way, you know. But some days were nice and sunny, some were dusty and smoky. It kind of put a bad turn on the trip, which is a bad way to look at it. I feel like a lot of us kind of view things as our own, it's hard to explain this, where we try to see something bad as being positive for us when maybe we shouldn't. Like, the wildfires ruined my trip, but shouldn't I really be thinking about it's horrible for the people who actually live where the wildfires are? But no, I'm thinking about how it kind of ruined my trip. That's what I'm thinking. Like, when you, whenever you volunteer, it's not always about, oh, helping this person, helping these groups of people find their way. It's usually, I need something for my resume, just let me in. And when you go into the interview, you just lie your head off. I really care about these people. I look forward to doing this with this organization, doing this with this organization. It's all good things that volunteers do. You know, they're helping, and they're helping for free. But at the same time, you get something out of it. You get that resume spot. You get something good on your resume for the next employer or next organization that is willing to take you on as a volunteer. And now I'm going to give you a little break, and I'm going to ask you a question, though you won't be able to really answer. What did you do over your break?
Again, I'll roll with you upon Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
People are really done with politics as usual.
But then it's all about the competition.
Every Vancouverite has their own story.
The perfect time for our alternative.
Vancouver's municipal election looms. October 20th. Do you know who's running for
City Council? School Board? Parks Board?
This is a wacky municipal election, and you're going to want to stay updated. Download Seeking Office, the newest municipal elections podcast from CITR's News Collective. Find Seeking Office on iTunes and Stitcher, or wherever you download your podcasts, starting July 3rd.
Thank you.
you're listening to CITR. I'm Neetu Da, and this is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CC, the only radio show to ever be subtitled, ironically. And we just heard from the artist, the 427s, from their album Stay Gold, and the song was The Big Sleep. And another artist called, I'm not good at pronunciation. I'm going to try my best with this one. Healing Maneuver, spelled H-E-I-L-L-I-G, from their album Thoughtful Fun. And the song was track 2. And whenever I try to read out, I love instrumental music. That's why I play it on my show. Whenever I try to say an artist's name or an album's name that I'm not familiar with, I just can't say it. Which brings me to a theory. My theory is that we, as people, or the average people, I'm average, huh? Never thought I'd drop down so low. My self-confidence has plummeted already. Anyway, I'm going to continue. Overcome your limits, I guess. I find that we can't actually read. We can't read. You know, you have it. You don't even write it on your resume that you could read. It's just assumed that you can read. But I don't think we can. We can't read. We can't. Because if I could read, then I could say that word correctly. If I saw a new word, I should be able to pronounce it. If I saw a Latin word, I should be able to pronounce it. But I'm sure as many of us do, we can't pronounce it. We need to search it. What is the pronunciation? How do you say it? I don't think we actually read. I think we've just learned so many words and have just become so familiar with them. And because they're so overused in our language, we can get away with it. We can just get away with saying that we can read. But really, we can't. We can't read. Have you ever, like, I don't know, you're on the street, you see a poster or you see some sign. Like, whenever you're driving, you see a sign. You see a sign and you're driving. And your friend says, "What does that sign say?" You're like, what does it say? I don't know. I have no idea. I can spell it out. You always resort to that. I can spell it out. I can spell it out. We know our letters. And why is that? Because we know them. We recognize them like we know many words. But we also know how to pronounce most of them. I guess we can read the alphabet. We can read the alphabet. But there's only 26 letters in the alphabet. Imagine learning Chinese where there's like thousands of letters. But we can just familiarize ourselves with all these letters. And that is why abbreviations are so popular, because we can't read properly, because we know our letters. We know our letters. Abbreviations just become so easy. Like, okay, CITR. Got it. Discorder. Huh. Maybe it means like disorder. Maybe like a disordered magazine. Maybe that's what it actually means. When I first saw Discorder, when I first saw that C, I'm like, that must be a mistake. Because it's not a word I was familiar with. And sometimes that happens too. We doubt ourselves. So we can't read. The people who can read are those who, maybe spelling, those who are in, like, spelling bees. They actually have to pronounce the word. But maybe that's because they also memorize the word. So maybe no one can read. Not even academics can read. We all just have familiarized ourselves with all the terms. And that's it. We've just all memorized. We're all memorized memory champions. That's what has happened. And I once heard in one of my classes that people tend to live in cities, provinces, nations, countries, where the country's name, the province's name, the city's name, the first letter matches the first letter of their name. They want to live somewhere where they have, where there's a common interest, or the name is just like them, it's almost like them. And there was a study done, and they found that it's true, that people, like, if the name, like, I was born in Surrey, so most people in Surrey, their last name or first name, most of them start with S. So, you know, you can just, when you see, if you need to guess someone's name on the street, I don't see where you would. You could just, you know, guess something with an S. Vancouver, guess something with a V. Or if you think, oh, it's probably more province-wise, then B. If it's more Canadian-wide or Canada national, nationally on the national level, then C, Canada. But I don't quite believe it. I don't know. Some of these things are just hard to believe. And I would kind of like to investigate this myself, like get a phone book out or a directory or wherever all the names of a city or place. I could never do the nation. That would be too many people, even for Canada, where we have our population's not so high for such a large landmass. But I'd like to do it. Don't you ever get the feeling where you want to kind of do some sort of research on something, but you never have the time to do it, so you don't end up doing it like this one? But then there are the ones that you typically do are like the simple ones, like a friend, or maybe not a friend. I don't have that many friends, really. More acquaintances, really. An acquaintance once told me that if you take a cold bottle of Pepsi and then you take a warm bottle or can or whatever of Coke, that they taste the same. Because apparently, because Coke was created before refrigerators, that it was always warm. And therefore, if it's warm and Pepsi's cold, they taste the same. I don't know. I tried it once. I did try it. They tasted different. But don't you ever kind of want to try those things every once in a while? Like, there's, over the years, I've just thought of, like, different research things that I want to try out. Like, I want to, like, I think YouTubers do this a lot, where they order, like, random things online, like, from infomercials and whatnot, and see if they're actually good products. Like, which is the best knife out of these products? Which company has the best coffee? Is it Tim Hortons? Is it McDonald's? Is it Starbucks? Like, those kinds of things. But who has the time to do that? Though I imagine that it would be kind of fun to do that research. But the only, and then the research that you can end up doing is if you get grants and PhDs or research assistant is more, I guess, serious ones, not as silly as the ones that I'm thinking. But imagine those would be fun too. But you have to go a long way. You have to do a lot of studying and whatnot just to do that. But what surprises me about that is that you live in a city that usually has the same first letter as yours. It hasn't worked out for me. My name's Nitu. It starts with an N. If I lived in New Westminster, that might make sense. But unfortunately, I don't. I was about to sneeze. Oh, gosh. Has anybody ever sneezed on the radio? There you go. More research. I want to research to see if anybody has ever sneezed on a radio show. Or do you call it a podcast now? I don't listen to that many podcasts. I have no idea how to download it. But, you know, Google's always there to help. Google, the beloved Google, so beloved by everybody. You know, maybe Google has ruined people's curiosity to do research. It has ruined humanity's curiosity to some point, because now you could just search it. But then you search it, it's not like you retain it. You just know it when you have the craving to know it. And then you just don't anymore, so you lose it. But yesterday was my first day of school, of classes. And the professor said that you don't want to go at a textbook with a cookbook mentality. Like, you don't want to memorize all the recipes. You don't want to be the memory champion. You want to be the chef. You want to be able to know how to make something without the recipe. Just know, oh, this needs more water. Oh, more salt. Or more. This needs more time on the stove. That's really what you want, don't you? You want it. You actually want to remember it. You want to be able to understand it. You want to be able to come to those conclusions on your own with the knowledge that you have. You don't want to just memorize it and just go through all the steps and... That's not actually what you want. But you would think that with what would determine where people live was not by the first letter of their name. Instead, it would be population size. It would be the culture there. It would be the crime levels. It would be the political agenda. And now due to the climate change, you would also consider the elevation level. How high is it above the ocean? Will I be drowning in a couple of years, or will I be nice and safe up high? What would happen? And now let me play you some more instrumental music, which is, I love instrumental music, and I know all of you do too. You just don't realize how prevalent it is in your life.
Thank you. at Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
All right, I'm gonna do it wrong. I'm about to spit in this mic like freestyle elfin, you know?
Okay, okay. Wait, hold on. Does it make sense?
No, but who cares? All right, let's go. Finally, we... You're not even gonna last. All right. Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival, fountain, just back from France... Montreal? What the f***?
It's a script.
I couldn't even... What? Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival. Fountain just back from France. What are you even saying here? Oh, you're trying to say these are the things featured in this one. You should probably specify that. Because even a f***ing elf couldn't understand that, okay?
Think you can do better than an elf? At CITR, we want to have a variety of voices on the air. Want to write scripts? Do some voice acting? Broadcast your creativity? Volunteer with the CITR Production Department. No experience? We can also train you in everything required. Send an email to psas@citr.ca to learn more. And don't wait to get your voice on the air.
Thank you.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Nitu Dan. We are broadcasting from the traditional and unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people. And what you just heard was a song by the artist Carlo from their album Carlo, unless that is pronounced differently. If you listen to the show, you'll know what I'm talking about. And the song was called Pale Moon Drifter, which was, I felt like it was a real match for the song. And before that, I played Helene Maneuver from their album Thoughtful Fun, track 4. And next up at 10 a.m., we have Rocket from Russia.
Parks Board.
This is a wacky municipal election,